Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
I told you it would be fun.
Yeah, that was that ratcheted up in a hurry.
Oh, yeah, that's what you had to expect. I mean, this is a rivalry that's as intense as most rivalries in the league right now. And it all goes back to 2 years ago. And it probably goes back to Greib on Eller, and it goes back to McLean versus Therrien. And even though maybe the characters change, the teams don't. And so, no, it's good. I mean, what I saw last night, and obviously I was working virtually the same time, but I saw a lot of what went on in Montreal. Was very excited to watch the role players of the Canes, much like the role players of the Islanders, by the way. We'll get to them in a second. But you watch Brian Flynn, and we talked about him when he came, very underappreciated player. Teddy Nolan, one of his favorites that he had with the Buffalo Sabres, never wanted to see him traded out of Buffalo. You see Torrey Mitchell and the speed. You asked me about him yesterday, and I gave you a report on what I thought. And you see Brandon Prust. I mean, when your energy guys can produce that kind of stuff, that's huge. That's gigantic stuff. It really makes a difference in the playoff series.
Yeah, 5-on-5, the Canadiens were the better team. I mean, Markov scored on you know, in his own net, and they really carried the play 5-on-5. The Senators came back on that with two power play goals. They solved the hamburger. I was thinking of you when Eller went upstairs on his on his breakaway. Torrey Mitchell went upstairs when he had a breakaway before he scored on his wraparound. So a lot of good things happened for the Canadiens. A lot of bad things happened for Ottawa. Their best forward is out, it seems. And they lost a game where, considering the circumstances, Pierre, with no Pacioretty, no Subban for a good chunk of the game, five power plays to one for Montreal. I how difficult a loss in comparing losses in the playoffs? Is it just a loss, or is this loss worse than a loss for Ottawa?
It's just a loss, and this is why I tell you that. You know, my theory's been like this for a long time. You're never in trouble in a playoff series till you lose at home. That game was in Montreal. You would expect the Canadiens would bring a very good game. They obviously were a little under it because of what you just described, because of the PK situation and Max Pacioretty situation. But the fact is that they hung around right till the end, and they have a rallying cry now. So I would be very careful to write the Ottawa Senators off. This is a team that has been written off a ton this season, and they found a way to reel it in. They have experience when it comes to facing adversity and doing very well with it. I'd be very careful about underestimating them.
We knew before the game was over that he was trying to play hurt, that there were obviously after effects, and that it was released that Subban would face no additional punishment. I thought the referees made the right call on the ice, obviously. But I thought also, after knowing the extent of the injury, that something further should be considered. And I leave that to Stephen Quintel and his group to do that.
Brian Murray, part of his spiel today, which we will play in its entirety after 5:30. I you know, under normal circumstances, the Ottawa Senators, I think, have a right to complain about what PK did. Maybe should have been suspended, should be suspended for a game. But in light of what Dave Cameron said and how he said it after the game, if they're looking for somebody to blame about Subban not being suspended, I think they should look at their own coach.
I think that's going a little deep, but I understand where you're coming from on that. I just will speak to you from a position of having gone through this as a coach, as an assistant coach, not as a head coach. We played a playoff series in 92 in the second round against the Rangers. We won game one in New York. One of our best players was a guy named Lemieux. He was phenomenal. In game two, Adam Graves with a baseball swing broke Mario's hand. Mario didn't return for that game and missed the rest of that series and part of the conference final against Boston, but he did come back and eventually our team won the cup. But Adam Graves played in game three after he broke Lemieux's hand in game two. And then the great Brian O'Neill, who I have so much respect for and did such a great job in this league for so long, because he understood the adversity and the battle that hockey is. Brian suspended Adam Graves for four games, even though he played in game three. So, you know, stuff has happened before in the league. There's been a precedent, but I don't think, based on what I've been told today and even very, very late last night, I don't think that anything further will happen to PK.
But when Dave Cameron said what he did, you know, in terms of retribution, that's not cool. I mean, that's just not cool to say that publicly. And then they have Chris Neal ready to rejoin the lineup. He's kind of set the stage here for some ugliness, don't you think?
That's happened before. I mean, we had that go on 2 years ago in the Ottawa series. We've had that happen over the course of time in a lot of different series. It's everybody's inflamed right now because there's been a lot of physical play. And listen, you know, and I know, and PK knows, that was a penalty.
No, there's no there's no argument about it being a penalty.
That was a penalty, and he deserved the penalty. And I think the referee showed a lot of courage calling that penalty in that building at that time against that player. That's not an easy call to make. He was trying to calm the series down a little bit, I think, by doing that. But again, Dave is dealing with the media as a head coach for the first time in a playoff series, and it's not easy to do. It's a little different. So I think, again, yeah, is he trying to maybe stoke his team? Probably. Does he think his team maybe is a little undermanned? Maybe. I don't know that for sure, but I wouldn't overreact to, you know, something that he said in the media. The game's played on the ice, not in the media.
Nothing, really. I mean, to be honest with you, I know that there's been a lot of contact with Carey. I mean, later part of the season, and especially in that game, and just playing in front of the net on the penalty kill. I mean, I don't want to take a penalty there. We're already down a man. I just tried to let him know, and you know, I didn't even look to see where I was going to slash him. I just kind of came down on him, and I tried to play hard in front of the net.
Do you buy PK's explanation?
Oh, maybe he was thinking that, but you know, I was just talking to one of my old players here in New York, Bob Airy, and when we needed something done in a series early on, Bob and Phil Bork were kind of like go-to guys. You just had to tell him, here's the player, this is his strength, this is his weakness, he has a hard time turning this way. If you put the puck in the corner there, he's not going to be able to blow away from you, so angle him up right and let him have it. He's not dirty either. I mean, but do players get involved and sometimes forget about, you know, the things they're doing? Yeah, they do. That happens. The one thing I would tell you, again, and I'm been down there a long time, but it used to be when you had a situation like that, a player would skate up to maybe one of your alternate captains or maybe one of your better players and said, you better tell that guy, if he does that again, your guy's going down. And you didn't have to get the coaches involved, and you didn't have to get the referees involved. It was almost like the players patrolled that. I remember having great conversations with the late John Ferguson about that stuff. I remember people used to target Mario Lemieux and Paul Coffey all the time and Larry Murphy. And Jay Caulfield or Phil Bork would go up and whisper something to another guy and the other thing. He says, better not do that tonight. Because if you do, this guy's going to get it. So just back off. We'll have a little truce here. And sometimes it would happen, sometimes it wouldn't.
It's up to the league. I mean, obviously it was a pretty big hack. Looked like you wanted to hurt me.
Mark Stone after the game. Melnick in the afternoon, TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo with Pierre McGuire at MSG.
Pierre, what about how the rule is configured? And if a referee calls a major penalty here, it's automatic if he deems it an injury. And the 5 minute brings along with it an automatic game misconduct. On the one hand, it's in black and white, and it's clear for the official. On the other hand, they've got no discretion here. If they see an injury, they have to enforce the five in the game. Do you like the way it's configured?
You know what? The one thing I don't like is when you try to interpret whether it's an injury or not. The one thing we've always learned at NBC Sports is never try to play doctor. That comes right from the top of our organization, and you'll never hear analysts, especially on our network, speculate about injury situations. So you just say, yeah, the player's hurt, but you don't try to speculate what's hurt or what might not be hurt. So that's one thing that I don't know how referees can determine whether a player's hurt, unless obviously you see a graphic injury, which you can tell right away. I don't know how they knew the player was hurt or not. But the one thing I would tell you about that, you know, I heard a lot of people say that he sold the call. I'm not sure about that one. That was a pretty big slash in an unprotected area. And that stick didn't break. That was pretty legit in terms of, I don't believe he sold that. I do believe there's probably some sort of injury. I don't know what it is, but he was clearly not right after that happened. I think everybody that watched the game knew that.
There's a micro fracture in his wrist. Apparently, Brian Murray's saying today he can't move it, he didn't practice with the team today. Chris Neal on the fourth line, Milhan Mihalik up to the first line, and Alex Chayshon to the second line. So if PK Subban slashed him, he did, and he hurt him, and he did, and he perhaps knocked him out of the series, we'll know for sure tomorrow, why wasn't he suspended?
Good question. One thing I would tell you is that you play 82 games with one standard for suspension, and you play the remainder of the games after the regular season's over with another standard. The standard changes for the playoffs. And I think maybe the way the league looked at it is, well, that was probably a one-game suspension, so Subban probably got his game just because of the way the penalty was handed out. If I were going to make a statement on it, that's probably what I would fathom from what's been decided.
Yeah, that, well, that's what it looks like, right? And Ottawa scored two goals with the Canadiens missing PK Subban.
But that's how I would look at it. I said that on Ottawa radio today. I mean, did I like the play? No. It's a flash. I've seen... you know, watch the game Nashville Chicago and watch what Shea Weber does to Andrew Shaw. You want to talk about going over the edge? And I'm a huge Shea Weber guy, but that he put his team in trouble. Eventually, they lost the game in double overtime. But I will say this: I've seen a lot worse than what PK has done, and it was never called this year during the regular season. I've seen a lot worse.
I mean, listen, I've been slashed a lot harder than that, and I've probably seen many slashes harder than that. I don't think that it was, that hard of a slash. I mean, first of all, I didn't even really look at where I was putting my stick. But at the same token, it's like the ref's standing there, so it's not a smart play.
With Mitch Gallo and Pierre Maguire.
he didn't know where he was hitting, but I can tell you, you're so amped up at that moment in the game, he came down hard. I mean, anybody watching that knows that was a hard slash. Well, that was a hard slash.
Talking about amped up, Pierre, how does Dave Cameron ensure that his team doesn't enter game two distracted by what happened in game one?
This is where Chris Phillips and Chris Neal really matter. Those two guys, we talked about them yesterday, but those two guys really matter. This is where you go to players that have been deep into the playoffs, have played in the Stanley Cup final, are respected players amongst their peers in that dressing room. And if you lose your mind in game two, the series can slip away really quickly if you're Ottawa. So it's really important that everybody focuses in on the game plan and what they need to do to win. That's the most important thing. Anything besides that, and they get themselves into trouble because they're looking for retribution, they'll lose.
Here's Chris Neal today.
Well, yeah, you have to be disciplined. Obviously, they got a good power play over there, and if you're not disciplined, that wins your playoff series. You have to be good on the power play and the penalty kill. And obviously, last night we gave up a shorty, but we ended up getting a couple on the power play as well. So it's you just got to make them pay on the scoreboard.
All right, and again, he does not know yet if he's going to play tomorrow night. I want to get to your game, Pierre, last night before we look ahead to tonight, because most people listening last night didn't see it.
Steps out of the corner, goes 180. Pretty moves there on Niskanen.
That's pretty nice for a big fella, isn't it?
Fancy footwork. Franz Nielsen delicately to the slot. There's a Poso to turn and fire. At the doorstep, Holtby sprawls, and then it's tucked in. Josh Bailey has made it 3-1.
I think we talked about it, but no surprise if Jaro Halak can steal a couple of games in this series. I think Washington is going to win it. But you're saying watch out for the Islanders. That was before the game last night. What did we miss?
The fourth line of the Islanders is the best. I say this with respect to Pruss, Mitchell, and Flynn in Montreal. The best fourth line in the National Hockey League lives in Uniondale, Long Island. And it's Matt Martin, Cal Clutterbuck, and Casey Cizikas. They did a number last night on the Washington Capitals in terms of forecheck, in terms of forcing turnovers, in terms of planting a seed of doubt. They did a really good job. Tavares was good in certain situations, but everybody that scored for the Islanders had a name besides Tavares. And that was so critically important. I said to you, if they're going to just do it with Tavares, they have no chance. It needs to be done with supplemental scoring. And they found it last night. Brock Nelson was fantastic, played a tremendous game. I can't say enough about Ryan Strome playing as a winger with John Tavares. He was really good. But I thought Boychuk and Letty in particular did an excellent job on Ovechkin and Backstrom when they had to be out there against them. And Jack Capuano had his team ready to play a certain style, and that frustrated the Washington Capitals big time. Halak stole nothing last night. That was the Islanders just being smarter than the Capitals.
Considering some of the spots he played in, Pierre, any idea why Burakovsky didn't play last night?
I think they wanted a more robust lineup. I think they wanted to really try to challenge Lubomir Vyshnovsky and Thomas Hickey, two of the smaller defensemen. I asked Barry Trotz about that because he switched up some of the lines. He had Ovechkin playing with Kuznetsov and Ward played often, and then he put Backstrom there and moved Kuznetsov away from him. I think part of it, based on what the coach said anyways, part of it was because he wanted to try to overwhelm physically some of the smaller defensemen that the Islanders have. He's thinking it's going to be a long series. So, again, he's trying to maybe, even though they didn't win game one, maybe send a message for games two, three, four, and five.
All right, along the same lines, based on what you just said about using the word robust, should anybody really be surprised that in the opener of the Anaheim-Winnipeg Jets series tonight that Jiří Sikáč will not play?
He's a depth player. He's a depth player on a team. He's finding his way in the National Hockey League. No, I am not surprised.
How about Jonathan Drouin not playing tonight for Tampa Bay against Detroit?
I'm not surprised either. Again, young player, learning how to play at the NHL level, not easy to do. He's on a very good team. Detroit is a very structured team. They play a lot more physically than people think. They really do a great job obstructing, so it'd be harder for a smaller player to generate a lot of chances against them. And I think they probably want to have a little bit more sandpaper. So a player like Brian Boyle, a player like Brendan Morrow, those types of players are really important. Valtteri Filppula, those players are important, so maybe that's why Jonathan's not playing.
And how about Antoine Vermette scratched by the Blackhawks last night?
That's an easy one to tell you why. And I'm a huge Antoine fan. Different styles of play. I mean, he grew up playing in Ottawa where it was more passive resistance hockey. And then he moved on, obviously, to Columbus, and after that moves on to Arizona. And in Arizona, playing for Dave Tippett, a lot of the same. Joel Quenneville's style is totally different. It's not passive resistance. It's super aggressive and hard charging. And so he's having a hard time switching into that gear of being a hard charging kind of a guy. He really is. It's been a big problem. And I can tell you, it's just a concern that they have. He's having a hard time fitting their formula right now. It's unfortunate, but they found a way to get through it last night. I was blown away by how resilient Chicago was, especially in that environment in Nashville. The job that Scott Darling did in goal after they pulled Corey Crawford, and the courage that Joel Quenneville had as a coach to pull Crawford and put Darling in. That was coaching 101. That's a coach that really knows his team.
Pierre, three goaltenders playing their first playoff game tonight. Bishop for Tampa, Dubnyk for Minnesota, and Jake Allen for St. Louis.
Jake Allen's played one.
Okay, first start then. He appeared in one. Do you think any of them have difficulty in that spot for the first time?
Well, Dubnyk will be interesting because the last game Dubnyk played, he got pulled against St. Louis. I was there to do the game last weekend, Mitch Gallo, and I. He looked uncomfortable after probably the first 10 to 12 minutes. He was really good the first 10 to 12 minutes, and he looked really uncomfortable, and eventually he got pulled. St. Louis, I think, will come after them. I think St. Louis, of all the teams, they have the potential to be the nastiest team in the playoffs. I think what Ken Hitchcock will do early on is they will make it an onslaught on Ryan Suter. They will make it an onslaught on Mikko Koivu, and they will make it an onslaught on Zach Parise. If you see early on that they are dominating the physical nature of the game, I think it's going to be a problem for Dubnyk more than anything else, because then you'll see Minnesota have a hard time handling that physical pressure.
And just before we finish up with Pierre, a reminder, if you missed most of what Brian Murray had to say today and P.K. Subban's response, you'll hear that in its entirety in just a couple of minutes on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Where you are tonight, you know, the Penguins this time of year has not been good to the Pittsburgh Penguins since they won the Stanley Cup. Nobody expects a whole lot going up against the defending Eastern Conference champs and the President's Trophy. Is there something about being heavily written off and being an underdog to start the playoffs that might get them to relax and play better?
It might. It might. This thing, though, if they're going to get this thing done here, they're going to have Marc-Andre Fleury play the way he played in 2009. He has never had a playoff run since 09. He never has. That's just the reality of the situation. So they're going to need him to play like he played in 09. And if he can do that, potentially they can steal something. This is, they're up against it. You can be the biggest Pittsburgh Penguin fan in the world. They're up against it. They've got a ton of injuries on the back end. They've had free agent defection on the back end, especially with Orpik and Niskanen moving on. It's very difficult to replace Christopher Letang. He's such an important player for them. It's extremely difficult to replace Olli Maatta. They're going to try tonight with Taylor Charney and Brian Dumoulin. Taylor Charney was a teammate of Jonathan Taves at Shattuck St. Mary's in North Dakota. He was originally drafted in the second round of the 05 draft by Edmonton. He's moved around a lot. He and Dumoulin have been partners down in the American Hockey League. Dumoulin's out of Biddeford, Maine, played at Boston College, played in the World Junior, was part of the Jordan Staal trade after he was drafted by Carolina. When Staal went to Carolina, Dumoulin, a first-round pick that ended up being Derek Pouliot, and obviously Brandon Sutter. Those were the guys that came back. It'll be interesting to see if the younger players can handle it. Paul Martin's going to have to play close to 30 minutes. Mitch, he's 34 years old. And trust me when I tell you, you talk about players, and this will be one of the unsung things. I'm going to be watching for this a lot. I think they're going to try to make him feel huge physical pain. They understand. Even Vigneault said in the paper, Paul Martin's one of the most underrated players in the league at his position. He's right. So when a coach says that in the paper, he's not just trying to get the attention of Paul Martin. He's trying to get the attention of his own players.
Penguins and Rangers, that's a 7 o'clock start. That's where Pierre is. A lot to talk about today. A lot more, no doubt, to talk about tomorrow from Fan Jam prior to Game 2, Senators and Canadiens. Thanks, Pierre.
How was the amusement park rides?
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. I don't know. Tomorrow, somebody's going to try out the mechanical bull ride. We tried to get Jeff Molson on it, but he was wearing a suit, and he wasn't too interested.
Why wouldn't he go on that?
He was wearing a suit.
So you can still go on that?
I think he needed a couple of Molsons before he would get on the mechanical bull.
Oh, that's good stuff. I just hope I can see that mechanical bull at some point.
In case you missed Pierre yesterday, he's been there and done that.
Have a really good night. Enjoy the games. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Mitch. Take care.